In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. Matthew 13, 1 to 22, we're looking at the issue of money still. Right, well, if money, possessions, stuff, busyness as well, because he ties up with the concern for money and worldly possessions, as we thought about last week as well, that's what makes us worried. That's what makes us anxious if all our life is bound up with our stuff. If that owns our hearts and minds, we won't be able to listen really to what the living God is saying. That's the message. The word of God is not going to get any traction in us as long as our hearts and minds are preoccupied with stuff. Money and busyness hold our attention. We'll never really give our attention to the kingdom of God. So in our series, Jesus has said there's this stark choice between God and mammon, stuff. And the reason he says it's always like that is because as soon as we're bothered about our stuff, what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear, the amount of money we've got, how much people like us, all that stuff. In the moment that stuff is controlling us, we never are going to really listen to the living God. That's what this parable's about in the bit that we're going to focus on. You know what it's like if you're trying to talk to someone and they're distracted on their mobile phone, and then you're trying to talk to them and they're just like, yeah, go on. Yeah, no, go on, I'm listening. Yeah, go on. And they're not. It's disgracefully rude, isn't it? And the only proper response to that is just to walk away. They don't want to talk to you, and you mustn't attempt to communicate with a person like that. Because they're just being disgracefully rude. And the living God is looking at us and saying, you're like that! I'm trying to talk to you, and all the wealth and worries, you're just like, yeah, go on, it's all right, yeah. No, go on, what's he saying, God? Yeah, go on. That is the image here.
That's you.
That's the image. And he's like, nah, you see, if you're paying attention to your wealth and worries, you ain't listening to me. You ain't listening to me. And my word isn't going to get anywhere in your life. Because as soon as it gets to you, and then in the moment you'll be like, oh yeah, I get that. I need to think about that. Back into the mobile phone of our worries and wealth. And then it's gone. It's gone. The word of God that just begun to get into us, swamped by the weeds of wealth and worry. That's it. That's the whole sermon right there, really. He sees that we kind of pretend to listen, and even actually we might go, oh yeah, God, that's so important. Then we're back into the wealth and worry stuff. And that's the weeds that just come, and then we forget it. And then the week's gone by, and it's gone. The word of God that had just begun to sprout something in our lives. It's gone. So the weeds of worry and wealth. Do you see it in verse 22? Is it in verse 22? Gone to the wrong page there. I think it's the verse 22. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. You see, so it's thorns there, but I've used the term weeds because thorns and thistles, some translations put the word weeds. And Jesus, if you read through the rest of the chapter, he gets pretty intense on this idea of weeds. So on that final day of justice, when everybody living and dead will be summoned to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, countless millions will be thrown out into the outer darkness because they were just too busy. That's it. They were just too busy, too preoccupied to listen to the warnings and the welcome that the Lord Jesus was scattering out to the world. His warnings and his welcome. And on that day, people say, do you know, I just never got round to it. I was just too busy with other stuff. Other things on my mind. Gone. Lost forever. That's what Jesus says in the whole of this. The whole of this chapter is about that. There'll be people, even now, there'll be people listening to this message at home, either live or later, And they'll have it on in the background, but they're actually listening to some other, they're doing something else. They'll be like caught up in entertainment or worries and wealth or anything. And even now, even a message about this subject, they'll be doing it. I know it. They know it. The reason that worry and wealth take us down is that they capture our attention. That's the thing. They capture our attention. They occupy our hearts and minds. We always assume, we'll say, no, no, like this Jesus stuff, this my eternal soul, heaven and hell. No, it is important. I'm going to deal with that. Of course I'm going to deal with that. It's just when I'm less busy. This is just an amazingly little bit of busy time in my life just now. It's just really busy now. When I get through this busy period, when I get into the new year, when I launch this new product, when I get my new job, when I pass my exams, when we move house, when we get this holiday, we've got to get time for a holiday, and that's when I'm going to deal with this stuff. When I retire, when it never comes. I've known people for decades, and they're always about to. I'm going to deal with this, but it's just not the right time. Right now is always the wrong now when it comes to time for the living God. Right now, it's always the wrong now when it comes to time for the living God. Always. It's always. Even Christian people are a bit like that. They're like, no, I am going to do that. But it's not a good day for it. Jesus has heard it all for thousands of years. He's seen it. And that's why this is perhaps one of his most famous bits of teaching in the whole of his ministry. Is this, isn't it? People remember the sower seed and seed thing. Wealth and worry will hypnotize us into eternal darkness and death. The things of here and now cry out for attention, and then all our attention gets used up, and then we're gone. I've seen it happen to many people. It's not that Jesus is hard to understand. It's not like, oh yeah, no, I can't get it. It's just so hard to understand all. It's not that. It's easy to understand. We'll see that. I'll summarise it at the end, just what he's saying. It's super easy. It's just we're too busy, too distracted to listen to him and obey him. We have time and attention for lots of things, to watch maybe hundreds of hours of box sets or follow sporting events, work at our academic studies, develop our careers, launch our businesses, make strategic contacts, fret about our health, get to the gym, work in the kitchen, stay awake at night, do our washing, do our DIY project, renovate an old motorcycle. I don't know anything. I've done most of these things. But the very idea of spending perhaps an hour a day listening to the word of God, oh no, that's unrealistic, that's unreasonable, that's impossible, we don't have time for that. That's a lie, isn't it? It's a total lie. I have got time, just not for that, not for that. Can't give my attention to that.
1 hour from 24 hours, it's not,
yeah, it's not a lot, is it? You know, that's right, it's not a lot, but we do, don't we? We're like, no, I'm too busy. Can't do that. We have the attention span for hours of some things, but almost zero for things that actually matter to all eternity, infinitely more important. No, Jesus, can you just a minute, will you? Shh, I'm busy. I've got to watch this. Got to catch up on that. Got to post this. That's what happens. And then it's gone. The seed falling among the thorns, says Jesus, refers to people who hear the word, but the busyness of life, the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, choke the word, and it produces nothing. When our hearts and minds are captured by wealth and worry, the word of God will be no benefit to us. When we're caught up with stuff, goes in one ear, out the other, doesn't change us, doesn't save our souls. So there's the teaching, the word of God. Let's just take a little step back and just remind ourselves the parable of the sower The word of God, that's what the seed is, the word of God, and it comes to all kinds of people, but with these big variety. Some people, Jesus says, seem to respond to the living God, come along to church with great excitement, they're into it, but then it fades away when they realize this is gets them into aggro, opposition. They're getting into arguments with people and their family, and maybe it's causing division and difficulties. It's a cost attached to this. So they're like, nah, I'm out. No, I didn't realise it was going to be difficult. I'm out. So some people like that. Others, and this is the birds one. The birds come and eat up the seed and take it away. What's that? He says, well, that is because of spiritual forces that control people. So in other words, some people are just too involved in all these kind of religions or spiritual practices. And so these gods that they've given themselves to, these gods just take away the word of God. They're following other gods. They're following all kinds of spiritual forces. They've opened themselves up to dangerous things in spiritual realms. And whether it's religions, different spiritual practices, philosophies, all these kind of things. So they hear the word of God, but very quickly it says that the birds, it says, if you put in the passage, it is, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. See that? It's the devil. And his angels will snatch it away. And you might say, well, I'm never going to give myself into the power of the devil. I've only met a few people who've willingly said they were going to do that. Most people don't willingly do that. But it's not that. It's people give themselves to the power of all sorts of religions and spiritualities, New Age mysticism, opening up their hearts and minds to spiritual forces without understanding what they're doing, with meditation techniques or unwise hobbies. There's no end of ways that we can do this. And the spiritual forces that we've opened ourselves up to take away the word of God. And we listen it, and then we recognize it. It begins to get into us. And then these spiritual forces just go, no, we are not going to let you go. And now this one has spoken to me this week quite powerfully, because I'm aware how easy it is to do this. And I remember, do you remember that story in Acts 19 in Ephesus? And they preach the message of Jesus. And then there's a whole ton of people who were into pagan spirituality and magics and all sorts of stuff. And then when they respond to Jesus, they burn all that stuff they've got, all that pagan stuff they've got, even though it cost £5 million, basically. That's what it would be today. 50,000 drachmas is 50,000 days of labour. About £5 million. Boom, they just burned it up. So this is what it says. Many of those who believed came and openly confessed what they'd done. A number who practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value, it was more than £5 million. And then it says this, in this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. Isn't that interesting? The word of the Lord was able to be fruitful because they basically said to those birds that were going to snatch it away, no, you are not going to snatch it away. We're going to burn all this stuff up. Be gone, birds. Be gone, birds. And they did. And then the word of the Lord did spring up. And that might be challenging. I know this isn't the main theme, is the wealth and worry. But it just spoke to me and made me think, yeah, let's be careful that we're giving room to birds of the air. Spiritual forces that we don't realise that will snatch it up. And these people in Ephesus were like, no, we need it. Powerful. Notice that then. So it could be opposition from the world that bothers us, and then the word of God doesn't bear fruit. How do people do that? Well, you see, some people might say, well, there's some parts of the Bible, I don't like that. It doesn't fit with the culture. It makes me feel a bit uncomfortable. So I'll just pick and choose the bits that I like. That's the way of that. And then the Lord's just saying, well, if you do that, there'll be no fruit. You've not received the word of God. That's just you. You've just got your own ideas. Or the spiritual forces, we thought about that. But the one that we're just focusing on for the last few minutes together now is, if we allow worries and wealth to distract us and preoccupy us, it won't have an impact. And this is the example of this that I know Andrew and I were discussing it this week, and we thought, the example of that that's very powerful in the Bible are these Pharisee characters. You remember them? They were always clashing with Jesus. But you would have said, oh no, they're Bible people. The word of God has got to them. They're always quoting the Bible. They're carrying around probably a big one. I don't know what they would like. But they were like people who you think, now they take the word of God seriously. But did they? Did they? See, maybe they, because what they love to do, they love to debate it, I suppose, and get into all sorts of discussions about little words and phrases, and they're coming to Jesus with funny little questions and things. They love to debate the Bible. But no, no, the word of God bore no fruit in their lives. Why not? Why not? Why didn't it bear fruit in their lives? You might say, oh, it's because, you know, well, the complex matters this. You know, they're difficult to understand the Bible, and they were trying their hardest, but they just couldn't quite get their heads around. That isn't the reason. Jesus says it. It's in Matthew 23:14. Listen this. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you devour widows' houses. And then he goes on to say, you're full of greed and self-indulgence. So people would have looked at them and said, oh, they're very spiritual. They love the Bible. Jesus says, hang on. Hang on. They're out for money. They're out for stuff. They just want people. They want stuff for here and now. They just want power and popularity and money. He could see it underneath all those religious debates and stuff. They just want money. And they want to look good. That's what it is. They're into the wealth and worry stuff. So he says, that's why they don't understand the Bible. That's why they're rubbish at it. That's why the word of God has no fruit in their life. That one hit me as well, looking at that. Why didn't the word of God have fruit in people who apparently studied it? Jesus says, oh no. Don't listen to what they appear to say. Watch what they do with their lives. They're actually just totally caught up in this life, those guys. They're just all about this life. So the word of God has no effect in them. And remember, here he is, the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, standing right in front of them. And they don't recognize him. In fact, they become his enemy. See, if they really knew the Bible, they'd go, oh, this is the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. But they actually go, oh, let's kill him. They become the worst enemies that Jesus has, don't they? The worst enemies. They're the ones who kill him. And that's the sobering thought. It's not even just enough to say, I'm going to spend loads of time studying the Bible. Jesus is like, well, are you going to listen to it and do it? That's the thing. If wealth and worry are capturing our hearts, well, the word of God will always feel a burden to us. We're like, oh, I can't read the Bible. Oh. He says, yeah, see, that's what happens. Because the Bible is speaking into a totally different way of looking at the world. And if you're like, yeah, but I'm basically trying to get my wealth and worry stuff sorted. That's what I'm focusing on. The Bible keeps spoiling that. It's like, oh, shut up, Bible. I've got to focus on this stuff. And then reading the Bible is always going to be a bit of an irritation. It's a burden. Oh, Bible. I just, oh, it's such an effort. Can I just maybe boil it down to 1 minute a day or something? And I remember there was a book published about 10 years ago, and it was something like 1 minute a day with God. I'm like, well, whatever God that is, it ain't this one. It ain't this one. Sorry, but look, if our attention is tied up in the weeds of wealth and worry, the Bible's always going to seem like some dusty old burden. Because You know, it's not going to give us life if the life we're looking for is this weeds and worry and wealth stuff. The Bible just isn't in, is not in that game. So it's always going to be a bit irritating and a bit boring or irrelevant or And then that Jesus quite often says, and in this very chapter, he does this whole thing where he says, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. And even in this little thing about the parable of the sower, he goes into this intense thing from Isaiah that people hear, but they don't hear. They see, they don't see. Why? Because they're just not really listening. It's the mobile phone thing. Yeah, go on. Yeah, go on. Yeah, just a minute. Yeah, I'll get back to you in a minute, Jesus. Yeah. And he's like, you're not listening. Whoever has ears to hear, listen. And then he wants people to turn away from this stuff. That's what repentance is, where you turn away. And it's a person who says, I'm putting this stuff down now. Go on, Jesus, I'm listening. That is having ears to hear. You've put the stuff down. That's why he says to that rich man, just let it all go and come and follow me. And that would have been this lovely moment where the guy suddenly is free to listen and receive. But he's like, no, I can't. I'm into this. I'm into this stuff. I don't want to let it go. That is where my attention is. And then he sadly goes away because he knows it. I remember there was a comedian doing a routine in which he was supposed to be delivering a person who'd been seriously stabbed to accident and an emergency. But when he arrives there, all he can think about is trying to get free parking. And the whole routine's about that, where he's like, I just got to get my validation thing. And the point, we see the humour of it, because we're like, it doesn't matter. It's just a couple of quid in the car park. There's a person who's literally life and death that they get them in, but they just can't stop focusing on getting a free parking. And like, wait. And then, of course, everybody else sees the urgency of the thing, but this person is just like, no, wait, I want to get free parking. And it's funny, because we see it, and yet, in a way, in a much more serious way, the Lord Jesus is saying, you are like that. You're completely preoccupied with something that's nothing. It's totally irrelevant. Worthless treasures and pleasures that we keep going on about. We even talk to him about them. Yeah, no, Jesus, before you go on about that heaven and hell thing, can you just validate my parking? And he's like, what? What? You remember there was an occasion where people brought a will, and there's probably a lot of money involved, selling a house, and he's like, Jesus, we've come to you because can you sort out the distribution of this inheritance? Jesus doesn't say, okay, hang on, here's a good and wise and fair way of handling it. He just says, what is that to do with me? It's quite shocking. He's like, I don't care. I don't care. That's what he says. It's one of the rudest moments in his ministry where he's just like, I don't care. What's that got to do with me? It's so intense. Because he's obviously just like, that is like validating your parking when there's a person bleeding out. I don't care. This is life and death stuff. And you can't get off your mobile phone. Or getting your validation parking, whatever, you know. See, if we're busy trying to sort out temporary parking ticket stuff, when our very eternal souls are bleeding out, we're never going to hear what Jesus is saying. We're never going to listen. Because if literally this temporary, meaningless, nothing stuff is more important to us than the bleeding out of our eternal souls. Word of God, you see, isn't interested in that. And if you look down, we can't do it now, we haven't got the time, but if you look down at verses 29 to 30 in Matthew 13, sobering stuff about the weeds of wealth and worry, and what happens if we are ensnared and bundled in with the weeds of wealth and worry. Verses 29 and 30 in this chapter, terrifying. Verses 40 to 42, even more about weeds. Terrifying. Terrifying stuff that were all meshed up and caught up in the weeds. And then the weeds are gathered up and burned and thrown away. And Jesus, so some of the most terrifying imagery he has for the end of the world is here. and it's all about the weeds. Can you see it? He couldn't be stronger, could he, about this problem of us distracted. So that's where we are. It matters more than we can ever imagine. And it's just, as we've said, as we come to the end, it's not that his message is complicated. The problem is, he's asking us to turn away from the stuff that we love to do. It's the mobile phone thing. I'm doing this. And he's like, listen to me. And we're like, no, just be quiet a minute. I'll get back to you. I've just got to get, like, I'm playing Farmville, and if I can just get this. And he's like, but it's not even a real farm. It's like, even if it was a real farm, I could imagine it a little bit, but it's not even a real farm. Shut up, just a minute. That is how he sees us. And it breaks his heart. And he's saying, listen, I'm trying to just tell you the word of life. I'm trying to rescue you from eternal destruction. I'm trying to prevent you being gathered up with the weeds and thrown away forever. And all you got to do, it's not even hard. I'll pay the full price of this. All the mess you've made by being like that, selfish and caught up in worries and wealth. Don't even worry about all the mess that's created and the debts you've rung up and the guilt and the shame. Don't even worry about that. I will sort all that out. All I'm asking you to do is drop it and turn around. That's what repent is. His very first words when he began his work was turn around, repent, because the kingdom of God's here. So he's saying, just drop it. Drop it all. Turn around and just look at me. Listen to me. I'll sort out all the mess of your past, your present, your future. Let me worry about that. I'm not even asking you to do any of that. All I'm asking you to do is give me your attention and let me sort it all out for you. But you've got to give me your attention. That's the only thing I'm really asking of you, that you'll drop what you've got and give me your attention. And then I will bring the fruit. I will do all that for you. I will give you my spirit. I'll bring you to my Father. I'll do all of that, but just give me your attention. So easy. That's all it's ever been from the beginning of the world to the end of the world. Just give me your attention and I'll do everything for you. That's the message. That's why the weeds of worry and wealth and all of this, why they are so dangerous to us, because they grab our attention. So this morning, let's run away from the hellish weeds of worrying about nothing and being caught up in the stuff of now. And let's give our attention to the Word of God, the Lord Jesus, and let that Word deep into our hearts and minds. Because then he can rescue us for all eternity. So therefore, to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be ascribed all the praise, all the glory, all the majesty, all the honour, now and forever. Amen.